Welcome to The Expert Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Donna Spector, who is The Expert Vet. She's a board-certified veterinary internist here to help explain medical conditions in dogs and cats. If you have a problem that's been difficult to diagnose or treat, Dr. Donna can give a second opinion to help you and your vet keep your pets healthy. Email your questions to radiopetlady@gmail.com. The Expert Vet is a production of 8paws LLC and Dr. Donna Spector, which are solely responsible for its content, and is brought to you by Canine Active, a safe, non-toxic pain reliever with a proprietary anti-inflammatory ingredient, Alpha-G, made of naturally occurring amino acids and homeopathic compounds known to provide pain relief in dogs without the side effects and risks of drugs. Canine Active is made in America by the company that makes Amino Active, proven safe and effective for people with pain who want to avoid ibuprofen and NSAIDs. Now there is Canine Active, an innovative formula for dogs to improve quality of life for the canine members of the family. Canine Active, proven safe and a proven pain reliever. This show is also brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Can you identify what's on the label of your own dry dog food? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. And their new grain-free recipes give you even more healthy choices for your pooch's dinner. And Donna's dream for a super low-carb canned cat food has come true. Halo's new pate-style cat food has an amazingly low 5% carbohydrates. Halo is a private company partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com, because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. Good evening, Donna. How are you tonight?
I'm great, Tracy. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, but I have two dogs in so much pain. They're not even that old. I mean, they're only 11 and 12 years old. They have such severe arthritis. And my own vet has tried one thing and another, and I try to, you know, ask you and ask other doctors, what's a good thing for pain? And if that doesn't work, what else can I try? And I thought maybe we could dedicate a couple of shows to not only the basics, the kind of 101 of pain management in dogs, but then maybe next week or the week after, continue on into the more, I don't know, cutting edge, new ideas, new thoughts. So would you lead us off with, I guess, what is the in the olden days, people used to talk about giving aspirin to dogs.
Right.
I mean, is there, I mean, it just suddenly crossed my mind. Does anyone ever give aspirin to dogs for pain?
Absolutely. Yes. And I guess my 101 would start with the first step with any, you know, painful dog. I mean, arthritis obviously is a very common joint problem in dogs. You know, it's estimated that 20 to 30% of dogs older than 1 year of age.
Oh my God.
Have some form of arthritis. But we have to remember that arthritis develops over time from some sort of disorder. And it can either be a ligament injury, a tendon injury, an old fracture, some sort of developmental issue like hip dysplasia or a luxated kneecap or obesity or bone tumor. You know, I mean, so when you start thinking about, you know, it's not just all degenerative joint disease. Sometimes there's different types of inflammatory joint disease or Lyme disease that got things started off, or
a dog has a
partial cruciate tear, or they have bad hip dysplasia. So I think, you know, just to look at pain, you know, obviously we're going to talk about pain and the way we address it, but I do think a diagnosis is important. And I know that sounds kind of silly because, like, why wouldn't we want a diagnosis? But so often a dog or a cat, mostly dogs, obviously, are taken in. And it's like, oh, they're just stiff. They have trouble in this elbow. They can't stand, you know, they have trouble getting up and down. And, but you know, that dog may have you know, what we call an OCD lesion, which is a little bone chip that could be taken out.
Oh my.
And then that arthritis isn't going to be as severe down the road. Yes, there's still probably going, there will be some, but not if that little chip is allowed to rattle around in there for 10 years.
Now, that's funny you should say that, because with horses, you and I are both horsewomen and love horses. And when you have competition horses or even just pleasure horses and they go lame, they do x-rays of the feet and the legs. And when they find a bone chip, what does that mean exactly? It is something in racehorses, they surgically remove them because they explain, how does a bone chip?
Right. Well, you know, and that is definitely layman's terminology. But what it is, a lot of the what we call developmental disorders, which is young dogs that have, you know, and we're talking about the Labs and the Goldens and the Rotties and the,
yes,
you know, these dogs that have a lot of these developmental issues, they often, there's just a malformation. The bones just don't come together properly. And there are these little, you know, it's just things are not aligned properly. So all of a sudden after chronic wear, meaning at a year of age or 6 months or a year, this little chip of cartilage sort of just flips up and, you know, and it chips off. And so it just sort of bangs around in there, floats around in there, causes a lot of pain because now there's bone on bone. There's no cartilage over that area. But you can definitely improve the symptoms of pain and arthritis by addressing the real problem. Or if a dog is a hip dysplasia dog, sometimes early in life, you know, when they're still just sort of bunny hopping, they're not lame, but they have this funny little hitch in their giddy up.
Exactly.
You know, have them evaluated because, you know, sometimes are corrective procedures that can be done. Or the little dog who carries the back leg. We've all seen it. You know, they're running.
Yes.
And they skip, skip, skip. And
what
skip
is
along.
That? What, is that
that's called a luxated patella.
I'll be darned.
But these are the things that often are not addressed that then lead to horrific arthritis and horrific pain that if we maybe would have dealt with the underlying problem. And I'm guilty of it myself. It's like with my own pets, you go and you're like, oh, they're a little painful. We'll just give them something. And,
right,
you know, because x-rays are, let's be honest, they are expensive. But this is one scenario in a young dog where it's really worth it. We know that these joint diseases and these joint or ligament or tendon injuries, they occur at a young age. And these dogs are going to live 10, 12, 14 years with the ramifications of an early injury. And so getting a diagnosis and trying to be as proactive in getting the problem corrected is going to help with how much pain we have down the road.
And so, certainly keeping weight off would be a giant one.
Exactly.
Another one, I guess, is worth bringing up. If you have that young dog who gets very, very painful after extensive exercise, bursts of running, running on sand, running and playing in tight circles, is it recommended to not allow the dog to do the activity at that level that causes crying and whimpering and extreme lameness afterwards?
Yeah, it is, because obviously dogs are dogs and they're in the moment and they just want to go,
yes,
go, go, go. But like the day after, they're going to really pay for it. So yeah, we, you know, dogs that have significant orthopedic disease, they do require some owner enforced restrictions,
yes,
because they in the moment, and we've all done that, right? Where you've overexercised and you're,
yep,
like, oh, I'm going to pay for that tomorrow. And you do. But you know,
but at least you made the choice, and the dog, right, doesn't understand that in that moment of being allowed to bolt out the door after the squirrel or after the deer or after the neighbor's,
right,
cat or after their playmate,
right,
that those bursts are the ones that can actually cause damage.
Right. So then, you know, now obviously we've talked about how, you know, arthritis with true degenerative joint disease is usually what we're dealing with, but it is important, you know, to try to get a diagnosis because arthritis pain is terrible pain. I mean, it is terrible pain. You actually have the injury usually of the actual cartilage, you know, the bones and joints, you know, the joints have cartilage surfaces. And what happens when there's arthritis, there's a bunch of inflammation in there. The cartilage wears down, and you start rubbing bone on bone. And that's incredibly painful. You may have some bone shards or cartilage shards, but the biggest problem is that's that pain, but then the nervous system, the nerves become involved, and they provide a whole nother pain sensation. And this is when we talk about chronic pain. And in I don't know if you've ever heard of the theory called wind up pain. That there's
it rings a bell, but I don't remember what it is.
So essentially, you know, you have the pain of a joint, but all of a sudden I might just touch that joint and it sends you through the moon because you're like, you know, there's like this, the nerves that are in that area are like, oh, hey, I know that I'm supposed to be painful all the time. I'm painful. You even touch me, I'm going to be so painful. You can't even believe how painful. And it may even cause you to be painful in your other leg or down your back. Because so again, the nervous system can play some really crazy, horrible tricks out. Once there is like a pain stimulus, those nerves learn how to be more painful, and they wind up pain. They what a sensation or like a touch that would normally not invoke pain will in that dog will all of a sudden it'll cause pain.
So is there a way to wind down the wind up?
There is, and that's where things like, you know, because when we're talking about pain control, we've got things like aspirin, we have steroids, we have non-steroidals, you know, we have all these medications that we use. But I think we're now realizing in these dogs with chronic arthritis and chronic pain, early on in the course of disease, we want to come in with a drug, a medication to address the nerve pain. And this is what people call neuropathic pain. And this is where things like gabapentin and amantadine and some of these newer medications, well, they're not new medicines.
They're medicines for right. Are those, they're human nerve damage, if you will, medications, right?
Or they use them for people who have diabetes and they have the nerve pain from diabetes. And so we're using that a lot more earlier on in dogs that have chronic arthritis and chronic pain, and we're having some really good success with it. But again, a shout out to our listeners that if you've got one of these chronic pain dogs. Now, if you're just putting a dog on something like a gabapentin alone, it's not going to do anything. You need to use it with your non-steroidal, with your fish oils, with your other, you know, glucosamine products. And then you add in the gabapentin to deal with that wind-up terrible pain. So, you know, we can, you know, flesh out each one of these medications, but, you know, that's a whole nother subset of with arthritis, you have the pain of the actual joint, but then you have this whole neurologic thing that becomes really, really terrible. And up until maybe 5 years ago, a lot of times the neurologic portion of it was just sort of ignored, you know,
yes.
Because obviously dogs don't tell us. They can't say, you touch me here and I'm like through the moon painful. You know, it just is terrible. So, you know, when we think about arthritis, as you said, do people use aspirin? Absolutely. And there's nothing wrong with aspirin. In some ways, aspirin is more easily tolerated by a lot of dogs than some of the newer fangled things,
yes,
like non-steroidals. So arthritis is fine, but I encourage anyone who wants to use aspirin, you know, they definitely need to talk to their vet because aspirin can have side effects. It can cause stomach upset. It can cause stomach bleeding. It can cause, you know, some other issues, and you have to get a right dose for your dog and their size. So, you know, I mean, just like anything, it's not, even though you can get it over the counter, it is a drug and it needs to be used with the supervision of a veterinarian.
That's a really good point. If anyone has joined us tardily, you are listening to The Expert Vet with Dr. Donna Spector, and we're talking about pain, especially in dogs, and recognizing what kind of pain it is. And then we're going to be talking over the next few weeks about all the options of different things you can try to minimize that pain. When you say about the wind-up neurologic pain, where the brain, in a sense, keeps getting a pain message, which I guess is really what neurologic pain is, right?
It is, yes.
And you want to do it early. Since when my dogs became very arthritic, both of them had both of their cruciate ligaments torn, both had mm-hmm. surgeries on both sides. Is that what started the arthritis? Maybe, but one of them is so lame in the front leg, I really thought she had bone cancer. Really, truly. She mm-hmm. thinks for a long second before she'll put that foot on the ground. Well, mm-hmm. we've done x-rays. She doesn't have bone cancer. But I had mm-hmm. a Rottweiler who had no hips. He had hip dysplasia, Yogi Bear, and he did have long bone cancer in the front leg. That's why his lameness suddenly got more lame.
Mm-hmm.
And Scooby, his two elbows stick out to the sides like mm-hmm. an umbrella. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's called spondylosis. I mean, it's, I guess, elbow dysplasia, but the joint, it's not like hip dysplasia where there's no stability. He just sticks out to the side, and they're huge and bony.
Mm-hmm.
And they've sort of been like that since he was young-ish, like 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, since gabapentin and amantadine, these human medications you use in addition to mm-hmm. the pain medications we're all more used to, I've got them both on a pretty high dose of gabapentin, which mm-hmm. is the cheapest of those. I've tried amantadine, mm-hmm. but it's very expensive,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't seem to do anything. Is it too late? Am I wasting medication on them? Because I didn't start it on them till they were both very painful dogs.
Right. And, you know, it is a hard thing to answer because we don't know. We just don't know. Is it worth trying? Absolutely. And, you know, usually a lot of times these dogs end up on, you know, a whole cocktail of things, like I said, from, you know, making sure they're getting a fish oil, they're getting some sort of cartilage modifying agent, yes. whether that's an Adequan injection or a glucosamine product, that they're on some sort of non-steroidal, they're getting a gabapentin sort of medication, they're getting some acupuncture, they're getting some, you know, I mean, these are multimodal therapeutic approaches, because if we just had one perfect answer for arthritis, obviously everyone would be on it and there yes. would be, you know, yes. there would be no pain. Everyone responds to something different. For my headache or my back pain,
right,
I may
you're
take
right.
ibuprofen,
you're
and
right.
you're gonna take something different.
And I can't take a leave; it makes me literally nuts. And other people right. can take four a leave. You're so right. right.
So it's, you know, there. That's why there's not one right recipe
yeah.
for every dog. There is some trial and error, and understandably, that's very frustrating for an owner. It's frustrating for the vet as well. But it's, you still have to take the team approach and say, okay, we're gonna give the basics. And let me describe what I would call the basics. If you have an arthritic dog, things that are fairly innocuous, you know, that can help are high dose omega-3 fatty acids. So the omega-3 fatty acids, they have anti-inflammatory properties. And there have been even some studies done that show high dose omega-3s are just as effective in some dogs as non-steroidals.
Okay, let me take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about Nordic Naturals, because yep. they're one of the sponsors of this network. And I wonder if I need to be putting the dogs on more of it than they've already been on all this time. Because you say high dose, maybe, again, dosing is everything. We'll be right back after this quick word from one of our sponsors. This show is supported by Spot Platinum, an allergy test that can help pinpoint which elements in your pet's environment or diet may be causing his allergies. Is your dog or cat constantly scratching, itching, licking? He may have allergies that the Spot Platinum blood titer test can detect, and for which they can make a USDA-approved serum that is custom-tailored to your pet's specific allergy results to control his symptoms. Spot Platinum is a privately owned company that has done over 500,000 allergy tests during 25 years, a blood test that measures a pet's reaction to 90 common airborne elements in foods. Their mission is to give reliable results, effective treatment, and unparalleled customer service. For more information, visit them on the web at vetallergy.com. And support for this show also comes from Vaxacheck, a simple blood titer test done right in your vet's office to discover whether your dog is protected from the deadly core diseases or needs revaccination. Vaxacheck is useful on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked, and shelters can use Vaxacheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. Vaxacheck eliminates the need to unnecessarily revaccinate a dog whose immune system is already protected. Vaxacheck, for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And ask your vet about the new Vaxacheck titer test for cats, too. We are back, and you're listening to The Expert Vet with Dr. Donna Spector. And we're discussing pain and starting with the 101 of what are the first things that we should be giving our dogs for pain after we've diagnosed what the cause is of the pain. So fish oil on the bottle of the Nordic Naturals, because I found out after years of giving the dogs the capsules that it's much more economical for large dogs or a multi-dog household to get the bottle of pet oil. Mm-hmm. And it says 1 teaspoon for every, I want to say, 30 pounds of body weight. So I've been mm-hmm. giving them 3 teaspoons a day. Now, when you have an animal, I mean, I'm talking about two dogs that when they stand up, you cringe. I mean, mm-hmm. they're so brave. They don't cry. They don't screech. They don't whimper. But it's a terrible thing to watch them try to get up. They're really right. crippled. Would high dose be much more than what's on the bottle, which is for a well animal?
Well, the, you know, and I always go based on all the different products, and Nordic Naturals has several different products as well. I go based on the actual milligram amounts, you know, and that's how I always
right.
look at that when I'm talking about high dose, if you
okay.
will. The, you know, we want to hit at least, you know, there's like the DHA and the EPA. These are the active,
yes.
you know, the active omega-3 fatty acids. You know, we want to hit in a dose range like 30 to 50 milligrams on a kilogram body weight, you know, amount. So I'd have to look at the products that you're using, because, you know, they have a variety. Are you using the omega-3 PET, the large to very large? Is that the one you're using?
Yes.
I'm actually just going to look really quick.
Oh, you're so organized. I love that. See, you, I mean, the rest of it is estimating. How about a splash? Will a splash be good?
Right.
But of course, that's maybe I'm under splashing and maybe I'm over splashing. And, and it's expensive. And also, if I'm not giving enough, then it's a waste because I'm not giving enough and the tissues aren't saturated.
Right.
Or the cells aren't saturated, I should say.
Yeah, you're if you're giving that, you know, we might be a little on the underdose now that I'm looking at that. We can, and so that's something we can work on. You know, I don't think you'd maybe need one more teaspoon.
And would, and might it make a difference? Of course, they are on the multimodality, and this is something that those of you listening may already have gone down this road as well. I mean, at some point I'd love to discuss stem cell as part of the pain story, but that both of them had the stem cell and it lasted fabulously for 6 months and then stopped working completely.
Right.
The Adequan injections, they'd gotten them every month for years and then they stopped being effective.
Right. So, and one of the reasons, you know, when you say they stopped being effective is one is arthritis is always progressive. So what they started with at six and seven is worse when they're seven and eight and then worse when they're eight and nine. And so it was effective when their pain was less, but as they've gotten more pain and more chronic pain and the wind-up pain, as it progresses, you know, I mean, and there will be a point where they are painful and it's a horrible tragedy, but, you know, dogs are put down because they're so painful in their quality of life. They can't get up. They can't move around. They're hobbling around. They stop eating. They, you know, it's a tragedy.
It is. But, and, you know, it's funny that you should say that, but one of the things that, and the dogs look great. I mean, one's a Weimaraner and the other one's a collie mix. And the vet said to me a couple of years ago when I said, you know, he's doing really well. And if he can avoid cancer, he can live a long time. And she said, you know, what's going to kill him is those elbows.
I know.
And it was a shocking thing to hear, but I get it now. And I'm, and you know, again, you have to do that quality of life. How much are these animals moving around? Very little, but they don't show outward signs of pain. They don't whimper. They don't cry. They eat.
Right.
They
is increasing by a teaspoon of omega-3 fatty acids going to help? Probably not. I mean, in all reality.
Yes.
But when we, you know, when we're talking, hopefully we're catching some of these younger dogs or let's, if we have a listener out there who just had a dog who blew a cruciate, okay, right now you need to start full-blown approach because even if they've blown a cruciate, you did the right thing as a pet owner. You fixed it. Things are great. The dog's recovering. That dog is going to have arthritis in that knee.
Yes.
It is absolutely going to happen. In 2 years, you know, when he's hobbling around on his bad knee, now is the time to start the omega-3 fatty acids, the cartilage protecting agent, the NSAID, the gabapentin. You know, I mean, it sounds crazy sometimes, but that is kind of where when you need to start it.
I think it's a really important message and one that nobody gets from their own vet. It's because it's a new way of thinking. But I love what you're saying is do something proactive because arthritis is in your picture. It's down the road. It's staring at you. And if you've had any kind of an injury, that's what's going to happen. And you can make the arthritis less bad. You can't stop it once it's that bad.
No.
But you can keep it from getting that horrible.
That's right. And so, again, going to what do we call the basics, that's when I'd say an omega-3 fatty acid. It is anti-inflammatory. It's a very good pain reliever in and of its own right.
Yes.
It can often keep the dosages of the scarier medications, the things like the non-steroidals, the aspirin. It can keep you on much lower dosages of those things. So providing a high-dose omega-3. You know, then there's the what we call the cartilage modifying agents. These are things like the glucosamine chondroitin, the Adequan injections, the green-lipped muscle. You know, they all fall under the cartilage modifying agents. And again, in a dog with this horrible, gnarly, big, huge elbow, you know, that's already been, you know, years of disease in there.
Yes.
Is that going to cure what's going on? Absolutely not. Those agents are best used after an acute injury, after in an early problem, or a young puppy that you know has hip dysplasia, you know, pop that dog. That's when you want to get them on their fatty acids, get them on their cartilage modifying agents to help support the cartilage that they do have, and to, you know, because those they are supplements. They are helping provide factors to the cartilage cells in the joints. I mean, they're not magic bullets. You know, let's be honest, they're not.
But if you've got a really bad problem like I do in these two dogs, I've been giving every dog that enters my household Platinum Performance Supplement, which is a joint supplement, glucosamine and MSM. They have found in their studies that MSM, they believe, is more effective than chondroitin. And it's a very kind of over the, you know, it supplements in many ways, not just the joint supplements. Right. They've been on it. I mean, Scooby came to me at 6 months and Jazzy came to me at 2 years. They've been getting it in both their meals every day, the whole time. And this is how bad they are. So all it can make me realize is, oh my God, it would be worse if they hadn't, if I hadn't. That's the one thing I have urged people, especially with large breed dogs, to have on board is those cartilage supplements that things don't go south. But depressing to realize that that was one of the few things I can feel good. Oh, thank God I did that when they were young. But as you say, if it's their destiny and it's where they're going to go, it's where they've wound up.
Right.
So if the, and the way you can tell if something works is when you give it either that day, the next day, or in 3 days, does the dog seem less painful, less lame, less limping, more active?
Right.
With Ataquan, from the day of the injection all the way till 3.5 weeks later, I saw these dogs that were light on their toes.
Right.
And then I got to a point where there was no difference between the injection and no injection. Does that mean that it really couldn't work anymore, or should I have continued on with the injections even though I couldn't see a dramatic difference?
You know, we don't have a perfect answer for that. You know, we really don't. You know, it's you know, based on what we know Ataquan does, you know, I would say I would probably continue it and layer in another therapy.
Right.
And see, you know, because a lot of times happens is therapies get dropped out and other things get started. But a lot of times it's a building block. You're here and then you just add on to what you're doing. And that seems to be more effective than dropping out therapies and adding new.
I think I need to add it back on. We've run out of time, but I want to say to people, you can learn to give adequate injections yourself. The vet tech taught me. And it's less expensive if you have two or three dogs that are getting a shot a month. I was amazed because I didn't think of myself as someone who could give a shot. But I think I'm gonna put these guys back on it, because even though they weren't Mr. Twinkle Toes the day after or 3 days later, it has to help, right? Because all of these things are building blocks to relieving pain. Right. Next week we'll talk about some more of the 101s, because just the steroids alone, Deramax, Rimadyl, Prevacox, Medicam, those are ones that have a lot of downside and a lot of upside, and something that people need to understand. So thank you for helping us with our painful pets.
Yes.
And we're going to keep on digging in so that people can have a really good laundry list of all the things they can
do. And there's so many good new things we can talk about too.
That's
so
what I want. I want the new stuff.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Have a great night, Donna. Thank you
Take
all
care.
For listening. Take care.